I want us to pray for him. And, you know, I was talking to Audrey this morning. I said, Audrey, what's the story? Did he know he was called to the ministry as a little boy? No. But at some point, you know, something, the lights came on, right, in the call. The call was clear. And I can see the anointing on him, and he's going to bring the anointing today. And I just encourage you, listen, God is going to be speaking to all of us today. There is a word for every person in this room. Every person in this room, he's got something for us. And with the anointing comes the breaking of the yokes, right? So let's welcome Ben as he comes. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. It's good to be with y'all. So we were supposed to have a little insert of some videos from Pastor and them. They're like live right now. So I may be getting texts and videos coming through, but we may show those at the end of the service or about Wednesday night. So God's doing great stuff over there. Amen. I wanted to just do a little catch up. So I've been listening to, it's good to go back and listen to what Pastor's been preaching around here. Right? That's a good thing, right? So why do we continually talk about faith around here? I mean, it seems like every year there's a series, right? Why? Because who must live by faith? The just. And we are the just, right? We've been justified by faith, counted righteous, or declared righteous by God. So we do this continually. It's something that we have to live by. We have to learn how to live by faith, right? And so I just want to rehearse just a few things. The just must live by faith. So Romans 5:12, we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. That's good news, isn't it? We've been justified. We've been declared. Now we have right standing with God because our faith. It's pretty simple, but we have to learn how to walk in faith. And that's why Pastor does a series on it so many times a year. We talk about it on Wednesday nights. It's the way of the kingdom. It's the kingdom culture that we're preaching on a series over on Wednesday nights. And man, Brother Jake, he spoke a wonderful word about speaking the word, speaking by faith. So these are all things that we have to learn. And what's another reason why we should learn to live by faith? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Those that come to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Don't we want to please him? I do. Amen? So the last few weeks, let me just touch on these real quick. Pastor preached on the faith rudder. What is this small member that can be bad or good? Amen? We know in our tongue, the power of the tongue, there's death and there is life. And in this little bitty bit that goes into this powerful horse's mouth, into a horse and controls him and leads him in his way, it is just like our tongue. In James 3, he talked about on the faith, how a small rudder or helm can control a great ship. So what are we saying? Your words matter. What you say matters. Here's another way of saying it. Your words are your steering wheel. Put it in our day and time. Amen? So last week he spoke on faith hears and faith speaks. These are all good things. These are all attributes, characteristics of what faith does, how faith operates, how faith works. So you can see continuously we have to hear and we have to speak. You speak regardless of what you see or you feel, right? Faith, here's simple. Faith hears and faith speaks. We all know this. Faith, how does it come? By hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. But it also simply, I believe, therefore I speak. So we hear and speak. These are all things that to live this life of faith, we have to do these things. We first, what do? We first hear, right? And because that word is getting inside of us, I speak differently now. You know, we act differently. So say it with me, faith hears, faith speaks. So let's go to 1 John 5:4. This has been Pastor Jump Off Scripture, and I think it's, that one's good. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcome the world, even our faith. Whose faith? So our faith matters, right? What we hear matters, how we hear matters, and what we say matters, what we speak. So I was just looking at this. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That's a wonderful thing. So, you know, I think a lot of times we think we put victory off until we get to heaven, right? We'll finally get our glory, you know, a little cabin glory, you know, that's great victory. No, he's saying now, this reminded me of an old song. Old song I love. I had this guy I listen to. He plays like a blues, soulful. It's awesome. Victory in Jesus. We have victory in Jesus. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning of his precious blood's atoning. Ooh, that's beautiful, isn't it? Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. That's the victory we have. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him. And all my love is to him, is due him. And he paid it all. He plunged me into victory beneath his cleansing flood. That's the kind of victory we got. It ain't when we get to by and by, oh glory. You know, we have victory now. And this is the victory, even our faith. He plunged me into victory. Look, y'all, we can really say, because we have this victory, death is swallowed up in victory. Man, if you can't shout over this. Death is swallowed up in victory. This is scripture. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who always gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus. That's the kind of victory we have. Amen? Look, Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. He's given us the keys. We need to start walking in what he has provided, what redemption has purchased. He's bought me. Worthy of what he's done. So what does that make us? More than conquerors. He did all the work. He did all the work. All it takes is our faith. Amen? So this is our victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus. So, what do we have? We have examples of those that have walked before us, right? Of those that have walked by faith, lived by faith. It even says at the end of Hebrews 11 that they're not even, the world's not even worthy of them. So, it's amazing what they did. And what is one of the main cats? Our father of faith, Abraham. He is our perfect example of how to live and walk and speak by faith. Amen? So I want us to look at him. He is the father of Abraham, father of the faithful, father of faith. In all nations, the blessing will come. Because he is a father that God said he would be blessed, and all nations be blessed through him. So say again. Faith hears, faith speaks, faith obeys. I'm looking around because countenance falls. Because I said the O word. Obey. We all don't like that. You know, I'm up here saying it too. We all like to pick and choose what we want to obey, right? How about when we read the Bible, we like to skim over certain verses. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience. And you're like, oh, no. Let me go past that, right? So, but if you look at Abraham, he obeyed. And that's what I want us to look at today. Faith hears, faith speaks, faith obeys. You know, I didn't say, it wasn't just coming from me about talking about obeying. The Bible says it. And I'll give you a reference right here. Alan, if you'll show, hold just one second. I'm going to get there in just a second. The devil hates these words, the word obey, right? Because when you obey by faith, the miracles happen. What did Mother Mary say to those when at the wedding feast? Just do what he says. Just that simple. Just do what he says. And they simply obeyed, and what? The water was turned into wine. So there's just little and little obediences, God can do great things. So the devil hates the word obey. And sometimes we do too. Because we want to pick and choose what we want to obey. What about another good one? How about submit? Submission. Oh. Submit yourself one to another. Humble yourself. Oh, we love that. But the devil hates that. He does not want us to obey, and he does not want us to submit. But submit yourself unto God. Humble yourself unto God. Amen? Like I said, we all want to pick and choose what we want to obey. Here's one. This is what the Lord kind of, I was studying this. As parents, we like to tell kids, obey your parents, right? Obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and mother. There's a promise with this. That's a good thing, right? So the Lord, he always shoots to me straight, doesn't he? And he talks your language. And he usually asks me questions, and I'm like, oh, I don't want that question. But he asked me this. Can you expect your kids to obey you as much as you obey me? Ruh-roh. But there's what we sow, we shall reap. And you see this in the life of Abraham and into Isaac. Your obedience directly affects the next generation. So it's so important that we obey. So yeah, he asked me the next kind of stuff. I like to say, Lord, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about my kids. You know what I mean? You know how we do? Let's talk about them. But you know, he said this, like he said to me many times, you're my boy, right? I am. Yes, sir. I am. So help me. Help me to be willing. Help me to obey quickly. Amen? So back to faith obeys. Simply obey is to hear under. Is to hear under. That means to take his word over your word. That's a simple thing. But a lot of the times we don't like it. Because our ways, we want to have above his ways, right? So take his word over your word. I love this. Genesis 22:18, if you'll bring that up. Look at these simple references of Abraham, father of faith. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. You know, and in the New Testament, it talks about the obedience of faith. So what in the King James, it says, you've obeyed my voice. And we're going to look at that here in just a second. How about chapter 26, verses 4 through 5? Abraham is past, but look, because of his obedience, now Isaac is fulfilling the promise. Now it's being passed on to his son. And what does it say? I will make your descendants. He's speaking, God is speaking now to Isaac. And he's saying, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and give them all these lands. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commands, my decrees, and my instructions. So we all want to be like our father Abraham, right? He's the father of the faithful. He's the father of faith. We want to be like him. Let's go look at this real quick. I'm going to try to preach, and we're going to hopefully beat the Baptist to the restaurant. Let's look at some characteristics of how Abraham obeyed. Before we do that, let me give you two enemies of obedience. These are two simple things, but you'll see it. One enemy of obedience is fear. Just simple fear. The second is pride. Look, both of these show the lack of trust. The lack of trusting God, right? The more you trust God, the more you heed his word, heed his voice, the more you obey his word, and the more that you do. Right? So let's look at, we're going to just read through this real quick. Genesis 22. Let me pull my Bible out here. Y'all will go to Genesis 22. I know this is familiar, a lot of folks, but it's good to rehearse. Rehearse and not forget. He didn't have a Bible. Right? He didn't have all that, but he still obeys God's voice. Amen? Let's look at chapter 22, verse 1. After these things, in the King James, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, that's King James, NIV, I believe, says tested or proved. That's the actual word. God cannot tempt with evil. No, but he will test and prove. This is mature faith, right? Abraham has already received the son of promise, right? So he's mature in faith. So he, after these things, you'll look at chapters 12 through, I believe, 25 or 26, 25 is all about Abraham. What if our life of faith was written down like it was for Abraham? We'll see our mistakes. You'll see the shortcomings. You'll see this, but then you'll also see great victories. Genesis 12, the very first thing, Abraham obeyed quickly. He said, leave your family. Leave your crazy kindred. Those kind of folks. Anybody have those? So what did he do? He said, go to the land of Canaan and I'll show you and I'll give you this. And then on and on, he obeyed. He just kept walking with God, kept knowing God. And so after these things, it came to pass that God did test Abraham. I'm going to read it up here. He said, hey, Abraham, and I love this, quickly, Abraham, you could tell he has a relationship. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Quickly, he responds. Here I am, he replied. Go ahead, next verse. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Look, so the trying, the testing or the proving of your faith is it's trying the mettle of the man. What's the scripture we have? The trying of your faith is worth more than gold, more precious than gold. I don't like that scripture. Because who wants to be tried? Who wants to be proven with fire? But it's the metal of the man, that it's the metal that Abraham, he had so much. Here it is. When much is given, much is required. And so right here, you're seeing God's got so many blessings even to be fulfilled, even in the next generations. Where much is given, much is required. So verses 2, you see that. And then he hears. Simply, he heard God's voice. Go do this. Now, I love the next verse. He says, early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. So, characteristic of faith that obeys. You don't call everybody up. You don't call on a vote, a committee. You don't even give yourself too long to talk yourself out of it. So he had a different way of thinking. Abraham did. So he obeyed immediately. That's a good place to want to be, right? To obey quickly, to get up and obey him, and not let yourself talk yourself out of it, of not obeying. That's a good thing. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out forth for the place that God had told him about. So he just simply heard and he simply obeyed. So simple. He obeyed immediately. You can't reason or think your way out of it. There's an old saying, where reason ends, faith begins. Sometimes we just got to like, okay, mind, my senses, all this turning you off, I'm going to obey God. And I'm going to do it now because faith is now. So, yeah, next verse, verses 4 and 5. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while me and my boy go over there. We will worship, then we'll come back to you. Is that not faith? Is that that is faith right there speaking. We hear, we speak, we obey. In all of this, there is movement. There is action. So, I want you to see something. I think I've said this before. Me and my boy will go yonder and we will worship. One way to cut the sting out of obedience, you count your obedience as worship. This is the very first time worship is mentioned in the Bible. In Genesis 22, right here, is where Abraham says, me and my boy, we're going to go up and worship. The word worship is to bow down, lay prostrate, to totally surrender yourself. So that this is the first place that you see worship. Hey, it's not this. It's not me and my boy are going to sing some slow songs. If it's really good, we'll sing two. But how do we equate worship a lot inside a church is the slow songs, right? But obedience is just this act. What are we looking at? The characteristics of obeying God. Obeying God by faith is you count everything. When that obedience is, I don't understand it. I don't. It's a contradiction to the promise that he has given me. But I'm going to worship God. It's simply, we are going to lay down our life. We will humble ourselves. We will bow down. So simply to obey is to worship. Put myself under his mighty hand. What does 1 Peter 5 say? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Who does he reject? The proud? But he gives grace to the humble. Don't we need grace? I need more grace. I need plenty of mercy every day. I take that. But I need more grace. And how am I going to get that? I'm going to have to learn to have a life of worship, a life of bowing down my thoughts, my opinions, my attitudes, all that kind of stuff, and say, okay, I'll obey you. I'll obey you, God. And I'm going to count it as worship. So to obey is to worship. So if you look there in that scripture right there, we must count our obedience as worship. We will worship and then we will come back to you. What we've been talking about. We hear and we speak. This is a good place that you could call a public place of panic. A good opportunity to panic. Because what do you have? You have his servants. He could have said what he was thinking. You don't know the burden I bear, you know. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what the Lord is requiring of me. He could have said all those things, but he didn't take that opportunity to with the servants and with his son. He said, we will go and worship and we will come back to you. That is faith speaking. Not speaking what you're thinking, not speaking what you're feeling. This is my beloved son. And you don't want to go through with this, but I'm gonna keep obeying God. He's mature faith, right? This is Abraham, the father of faith. So don't take the public panic route. when you have the opportunity, don't take it. Amen. But just speak words of faith. Verses 6-7. These are so many types and shadows, the Bible. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. Man, just look at this. And he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them went together. Man, these are the types and shadows of Isaac and Jesus. So I mentioned this a while back. God chose, it's a beautiful scripture, Genesis 18. It says God chose Abraham because he knew he would train and teach his children in the ways of God. So I believe when you look at this next scripture, before we look at the next scripture, I say that because he learned to teach Isaac. So this wasn't Isaac's first time to go up and do a sacrifice. But you'll see here in a second, he asks a good question. So Isaac knew worship. He knew sacrifice. He knew what was about to go on. Let me read that next verse. So Isaac, his son. Man. Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father, he said, yes, my son. Abraham replied, the fire and wood are here. Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Now, here's another place of private panic. Well, son, it ain't looking good for you. That is private panic. I don't want to do it, but no. Look at what the next thing he says. Man, I think is just... And it's actually prophetic. And Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. I love the King James. It says, God will provide himself a lamb. So it says in Galatians that the gospel was preached to Abraham, which is amazing. I would love to have been on that. Hopefully had that videoed. I'd love to see that when we get to heaven. How he preached to Abraham, Jesus, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice. Man, and so when you see this, you see, wow. He spoke by faith again. God will provide himself a lamb. And so I love that part. So they went together. Here, I want you to show some. I never saw this until just recently. Looking at Isaac's faith. You know, Isaac... There ain't much written. It's a little bit written where he blessed his sons in Hebrews 11. But I want you to see something. Here's a little tidbit or a fact. I love it. He went together willingly. Look, so Sarah had Isaac when she was 90. Oh, Lord. She was 90. So the next chapter, she passes when she's 127. So we don't, you know, when he talks about me and my boy, me and the King James says me and my, the lad, me and my boy. But in the Amplified Act says the young man, me and the young man. So I want you to see something. A lot of us have always thought he was probably 6, 7. He could have been already 37 because his mom passed at 127. He could have been 27. He could have been 17. What is that? Why does that matter, Ben? I like to think he may have been 33. So, why am I even saying all of that? He's a grown man. Don't you think? It just shows his willingness. It just shows that he knew God. He didn't know it was just dad's God, this God. I'm the promised one. I'm the one that's going to be multiplied. All nations are going to be blessed through us. And so, yeah, he willingly, oh man, I had it. Cheap ass. Oh, he was 33. Yes, Isaac's faith. Oh, that was it. So his dad's an old guy, right? If he was 7 or 17, don't you think he could have juked his dad? I ain't going up that mountain. He could have kicked his dad off the hill, you know? But he didn't. So just like Jesus, he took his father at his word. And he was willing to go, and they went together. But what's so, you know, I said this a little earlier. Your obedience, God fulfilling his promise in your life touches your kid's life. Your obedience touches your kid's obedience. Amen? He obeyed his father, and just like Jesus, when he went to the garden, he sweat great drops of blood. Is there any way I can not take this cup? Not my will, but your will be done. Let me read Genesis 22:10-13. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son. You got to think of that. Who also went up the hill with some wood? Jesus. Went up that Calvary Hill, Golgotha, the place of the skull. And he went willingly. No one took his life. He willingly gave his life. So, next verse. Then he reached out his hand and took his knife to slay his son. Wow, what obedience. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. God isn't in about child sacrifice. It was an abomination for the other gods, the pagan gods. They did that kind of stuff. So Abraham had faith. He had the gospel preached to him so enough that either God's going to interrupt this sacrifice. It says in Hebrews 11:19, he even saw him raised from the dead. That's what he said. Even if I have to go through with this, God's going to raise him from the dead. So he saw that. Here I am, he replied. Next verse. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Next one. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its thorns. He went over and took the ram as sacrifices as a burnt offering instead of his son. It is types and shadows. I want you to hear this. Isaac, beloved son. Promised son, Jesus, the beloved son of God. Isaac, the only son of promise, Jesus, the only begotten son. Isaac carried the wood, Jesus carried the cross. Isaac went willingly, Jesus went willingly to the cross. Isaac offered on Mount Moriah, Jesus crucified on the same. Could be the exactly same area. God does that kind of stuff. On that same mount, Isaac, man, this is good. Isaac spared from death. Jesus was not spared. ram died instead. That was the substitute. Jesus was our substitute. And in this place, verse 14, so Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. Isn't that something he just said just a little bit before that? The Lord will provide. You know, the many areas of the Bible, I love the names of God. God gives his name. But looky here. Abraham gave the name of God and said, the Lord will provide. It means to he sees. He sees. He sees your need, and he has a way to provide the need. There's another way of saying it. He sees it through. He sees where you're at, and he's going to see you through. He's going to provide. Amen? He called God, Jehovah Jireh. He sees. He knows. The Lord will provide. God provided us the Lamb of God. You know, the few things that John Baptist is recorded for saying? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And I love that. Not just the sins of Israel, not just the chosen people, but all the sins of the whole world, us Gentiles, us heathen, for all of us. I love it. He takes away the sin of the world. Let me go back to this. Abraham's willingness to obey became Isaac's willingness. The blessing of God goes from generation to generation. So it's so important that we all obey God in our generation. Amen? Because it will be. So what's so cool about this? But just reading this, Abraham only saw the one grain of sand. He only saw the one star. God told him, look up at the stars, as numerous as they be, as all the sand on the seashore. What did Abraham only saw? He didn't even get to see his twin grandsons. He passed for it. He passed before it. He didn't get to see his hairy boy Esau. He didn't get to see that, but I'm telling you, you may not see everything, but God's blessing, your obedience does affect the next generation. Amen? I love this. Abraham's obedience did not earn God's promise. It's not by works. Rather, it demonstrated genuine, real faith. Real faith works. Real faith showed faith in action. And that's just simple obeying. Amen? So faith obeys. I'm going to go quick. Oh, I'm doing okay. He obeyed because, y'all listen to this. He obeyed because he trusted God. He trusted God because he knew God loved him. So there's something wonderful. There's a scripture in there, in the Word, says faith works by love. So his faith worked by his love of his God, how much he trusted him. Your love shows up. This is my last page. I'll go quick. So obedience, I wanted to take away two things here. So obedience looks like worship. Bowing, lowering your will, your ways to under his will and his ways. But I understand this. You look at Abraham, what great faith, how he obeyed. You know, but it was a lifetime of growing in faith. When we talk about these things, I know it seems overwhelming. Like, I have mustard seed faith. I don't know if I could do any of that. I don't know if I can obey quickly. I don't know if I could do these things. But you can. You can obey. You too can obey. So say this with me. I can obey. I can hear. I can speak. And I can obey. Here's a simple one. Do you know how you can obey? Simple as this. We have a life of worship. We can obey because you love him. Don't we? The more that you know him, the more you love him. That's why we pray these things in Ephesians 1:7, that we may know you. The knowledge of him. How much like the Holy Spirit sheds abroad in our heart the love of God. Man, to know him is to love him. So I'm saying, by just the simplest love, you can obey him. Look, I love this. Jesus always brings it back to love. John 14:15 Amplified. If you really love me, you will keep, obey my commands. That was always an oh me to me, because it just seemed like I couldn't, you know. I want to, but he says, if you love me. Y'all remember the restoring chapter of Peter, John 21, when he was in shame, in despair, when he denied the Lord. All of us have messed up, but he really messed up. I can't imagine the shame. It says he denied him three times and the rooster crowed. Remember that? Jesus even prophesied, and he said, and I'll even die for you. He said it to in front of all the disciples, all that kind of stuff. And it says, as he denied him, he even cursed him. And on that third time, the rooster crowed, and I believe it's in Matthew's gospel, it says Jesus, as he was being whooped and beaten, it says Jesus looked at Peter after he said that. And it says, Peter went out and wept bitterly. I can't imagine looking at Jesus and you saying that, and then just the guilt and shame of that. Like, I'm disqualified. I can't be his disciple. I can't follow him, right? But in that great restoring chapter, three times, they're having breakfast. I love it. Jesus makes breakfast for them on the beach. They just had a great catch of fish. He went back to what he was used to doing. He was a fisherman. But on the beach there, he makes breakfast for him, and he says, Peter, do you love me more than these? God always brings it back to love. He always brings it back to love. And then he said, he gave him a command. What did he say? Take care of my lambs. Feed my lambs. And he, for three times, just like he rejected him three times, he restored him. He made him say, I love you, Lord. He says, all right, feed my sheep. Next one, the last one, take care of my sheep. And only way Jesus can, he restored him there by love. He asks us the same question all the time. Do you love me? What's the greatest commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's all of you. There's nothing left. So I wanted to say this. Just start obeying in the little things. Don't forsake yourself of the assembly of the God, of the brethren together. As the days grow more evil or worse. And here it is. Love what he loves. Love what he bled for. Right? We start obeying on the little things. What he loves, what he bled for, and what he purchased. He purchased the church. He even calls it his bride. It's just beautiful way he says it in the gospel. So remember this. I'm gonna stop here. Because I love him, I can obey him, right? It says, if you love me, really? Do you really love me? Keep my commandments. Anybody in here love him? I do. He's been so good to me. So merciful. Remember, he sought me. He bought me by his redeeming blood. He plunged me to victory beneath his cleansing flood. You too can obey God. You too can obey God. Amen. That's all I got. Amen.
Thank you, Ben. That's a good word. You think about Isaac, if he was a grown man, the theory of him being a grown man in his 30s, he could have taken his father. And he knew what was happening. Like he said, he'd done the sacrifices before. So what did he do? Out of obedience to his father, he said, I'm going to lay my life down because I trust my father enough, right? And then Abraham's perspective was, Isaac is the promise. Maybe we have a promise from God. He said, I'm going to lay down the promise out of obedience to you. Sometimes I feel like that was part of the test. You know, is the promise more important than the relationship here? No, the relationship here is more important. So much to be learned. Let's stand together. But to me, what really stands out, I love the last thing you talked about where you talked about Peter. And Peter, what a devastating blunder, you know, at the cross. The flesh got in the way, all the things. But I love how when he had raised from the dead and he said, go tell my disciples, I'm going to meet him and tell Peter. Tell Peter. Jesus was on it. And then who gets, you know, on the day of Pentecost, he gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. There's the amazing outpouring. Who's the one that preaches the first message? Peter rises up in the power of the Spirit. 3,000 are added to the church right off the bat. God is the restorer. So let's just bow our heads today. Some of you in the room today, you're saying, I have made the blunder. But God is saying, I am the restorer and my blood is enough. The sacrifice of Jesus is enough for all of our blunders. So let's just turn our hearts to him. Father, we just turn to you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that it is enough, that the blood that was poured out is enough for all of mankind, the sin, past, present, and future. And I just, we receive your love today. Just say this, I receive your love today. I receive your provision of the cross today. Forgiving my sins. Redeeming my life in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you. We'll see you on Wednesday. We'll have Kingdom Culture on Wednesday. And Miss Rose is going to be teaching. It's going to be good. Hallelujah.